The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. We read from Ezekiel chapter 18, selected verses beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Continuing at verse 25, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're going to read the entire section from verse 1 to verse 18, the second chapter. Paul writes, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my absence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, and we begin reading at verse 23. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered to Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, particularly focusing on these words: "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." This is our text. What does it mean to be humble? The biblical idea of that may be a little bit different from the way most people think of humility. On a particular occasion, Jesus wanted to illustrate what humility was. His disciples had come to him, Matthew chapter 18, and asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he took a little child and put him in their midst. The Greek word is paideion. It could even refer to an infant. He told him, his disciples, that anyone that wanted to enter the kingdom of heaven was humble themselves like this little child. What is it about children that is like being humbled? Well, I'm being reminded of that on a regular basis these days. As many of you know, my wife is 80% retired from Hy-Vee, but she's also 80% of babysitter. And so 4 out of 5 days of the week, we have 2 2-year-olds, 5-year-old over at our house. You know, being a parent wasn't always easy, but at least our children were separated by 3 years. One of them would get a little bit older and be able to start take care of themselves a little bit before the next one came along. But when you got 2 2-year-olds running around the house, it's a whole nother story. They can walk to a certain degree. They can talk. But you can't leave them alone for 5 minutes. From changing diapers to feeding them, they are totally dependent. Turn your back for more than 5 minutes, and sometimes a lot less, and wow, you got trouble on your hands. You constantly have to be telling them what they can do and what they can't do. And whether or not they like it, and often they don't, they have to be obedient. They have to be willing to submit to your will, because their will is just going to get them into trouble. Some people, when they first read Matthew chapter 18 and that incident where Jesus brought the little child into their midst, think that the reason little children are so great and we have to become like them so much is because of their great trust. But you know what? Sometimes our 2-year-old grandchildren trust us, but a lot of times they don't. But they are 100% all the time dependent on us, whether they like it or not. Listen again to the description of Jesus' humility. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, sometimes you have to make 2-year-olds do things that they don't want to do. Eating things that they don't want to eat, taking medicine that they don't like. And with a normal, sinful 2-year-old, you often get defiant. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're going to name somebody who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven, was great because in him was no defiance whatsoever. And even things that would be painful for him, he still entrusted himself to the complete care of God, the Heavenly Father. There are 2 words of Christ that are remarkable as he's hanging on the cross. The one being his display of utter agony and despair when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But having said those words, telling us that he was literally suffering hell, the total abandonment of God, as he hung there on the cross, when the work of our redemption is complete, his last words are, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Having endured everything that he endured, he still entrusted himself to the care of his Father, knowing that it wasn't his will ultimately that was best, not just for him, but for the whole world, but the will of the Father for his life and for the life of the world. To be humble. Biblically, what does it mean? It means that you submit yourself completely and utterly to both the will and the care of someone else. And when we do that as Christians, when we, like Christ, having his mind completely entrust our lives and our care to God the Heavenly Father, changes how we live in this world. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and thought to themselves, you know, I need something. Do you have any doubt that they were fearful or worried before sin entered the world? Of course not. Because if they needed something, they always knew where they could go to get it. They knew that God was going to supply their every need and take care for them. And when you find yourself in that state of mind, the state of mind that Adam and Eve had before they fell into sin, the state of mind that Jesus had, even while hanging on a cross, having no worries about yourself, realizing that all your needs are going to be taken care of, what do you then focus your life on? I mean, what is there to think about when you know you are going to be completely taken care of? When we exist in that state of mind, that's when we are able to focus not on our own wants and our own needs, but we are free to focus on serving one another. That was Paul's aim in pointing people to the humility of Christ. Backing up a little bit in the epistle lesson. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and out of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. How do we find the ability to be the type of people that Paul was just describing? Though we're never going to be those type of people perfectly in this world, we can be more like those kind of people. When we keep our hearts and minds focused on God's care and love and gifts for our lives, when we know that our life is safe and secure in His loving and caring arms, not just life in this world, but life eternally. When you know that even when you fail, God will be there to pick you up. Even when you have failed Him, He will be there with His forgiveness and His love and His mercy. When you realize, as was said last week in one of our lessons, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that's when we find the power to focus not on ourselves, but on the needs, the interests of others. My dear friends, I think we all realize we're living in a world that is increasingly focused on self. My needs, my wants, my rights are more and more becoming foremost in the minds of our world. What can help and benefit others? What can be a blessing to others? It's something too few people think about these days. Do you want to change that in your own life? Do you want to change that in the world? There's only one way to do that. And that's to help other people understand the love that God has had for them. For when we come to a greater knowledge of that love and that care that God has had for us, that's when we gain the strength to also become humble like Christ and serve not our own needs, not our own interests, the needs and interests of others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.